with all of the bailouts being pushed by our government, the mortgages, the banks, the auto industry, and now investors, how are we ever going to be able to afford any of this? It seems now that companies are just lining up in Washington to receive the free financial handouts, and there's no oversight. So whoever they pay off in Congress, they seem to get a payback. There is a system in place right now that could save the big three automakers without having to spend enormous amounts of hard-earned taxpayer dollars. You know what it's called? It's called bankruptcy. Joining us today to talk about this option is Elisa Lappin, a former associate editor of Forbes, who wrote an article entitled Three for Chapter 11. Elisa, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thank you very much for having me on again. I'm delighted to be here.
Give us some background on your article. What do you think is going on here?
Well, I think that Congress feels they have to do something because they did so much for the banks. Now, mind you, the bank bailouts were not handled very well, and they keep changing their minds about how that $700 billion is going to be spent. You know, are they going to buy stock? Are they going to back up sour mortgages? Are they going to bail out people whose mortgages are failing and buy the homes? What are they going to do? So now the auto giants are coming in line and saying, hey, we want money. First it was $50 billion, then it was $25 billion, and now we're down to $14 billion just to tide them over for a couple of months. But the whole idea is stupid because it's just delaying the inevitable. They need to go into Chapter 11.
If the problem with the big three is that they're not run well, the bailout isn't going to help the companies very much with a government bureaucrat running the companies, is it?
No, it's really not. I mean, they need to trim their employment benefits, and the union has to negotiate. And they were willing to negotiate with Congress up to a point, but that's political. In Chapter 11, the judges make the decisions, ultimately. You negotiate, and if the judge thinks that one party is asking too much or giving too little, they decide unilaterally that, no, this is the way it's going to be, and the court makes the decision. Now, the unions have to give up. That's all there is to it. I mean, there's no way you can pay somebody $60,000 a year and then give them $60,000 a year in benefits, too. It's ridiculous.
Well, whenever the talk of bankruptcy comes up, they always mention liquidation.
No. Chapter 11 is reorganization. And actually, I didn't realize this myself, but apparently Chapter 11 bankruptcy was developed in the 19th century for railroads when they weren't making money, and the railroad magnates were threatening to tear up the rails and melt them and sell the scrap. And Congress realized that the better way to do it was to keep them as going concerns and try to get profits, which, of course, was accomplished. So Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization came into being. And in Chapter 11, companies go under protection of the court, and they reorganize their assets. They get protection from their creditors. The creditors have to negotiate down what they're owed. The companies need to negotiate some givebacks. The labor needs to negotiate. Everybody plays a role in negotiating a final outcome. And if it's a viable business, which these companies are viable, I mean, they're not going to go belly up. They're not going to completely close down all their factories and lay off 3.5 million people. It's not going to happen. I mean, people are still buying cars. They just need to trim and become more efficient, and they need to compete with the foreign automakers, which are efficient and selling cars.
There have been businesses who have prospered after Chapter 11. It happens all the time.
Absolutely. Very good point. The six major airlines, including United, Delta, Northwest, and Continental, all filed for Chapter 11 at various points in the last 20 years, and they all emerged from Chapter 11 reorganization with real hopes for profit. And the same thing happened with large companies, steel companies, and small companies. We had National Steel, Bethlehem Steel, Wheeling Pittsburgh, Kaiser, Bayou, Weirton Steel. I mean, the list is as long as my arm. Many others also use Chapter 11 to emerge as either standalone companies or they sold themselves leaner and meaner to competitors. And so we still have a steel industry in this company, in this country. It's smaller, but it's functioning. And the same thing is possible for Detroit. I mean, we did a bailout, by the way, of Chrysler way back in 79, 80. It was a long time ago. And, you know, Chrysler is now privately owned, and it's back in the same position it was 30 years ago. Well, that's not acceptable. They need to reorganize.
Bailing out the big three just opens the door for a bunch of other companies to line up for free money.
That is actually the other problem with this. And the economics chairman at George Mason University, Don Boudreau, actually said that, you know, if in fact they bail out the auto companies, then everybody else in U.S. industry will stream into Washington for special subsidies and blank checks. And, you know, the taxpayers can't do that. I mean, we're already in debt up to our eyeballs, and there's only so much money that the Treasury can give out. I mean, they're going to start printing money, and there's nothing backing up the currency. Then we're going to have major inflation. We can't do that.
Chrysler's market share has risen recently, has it not?
Yes, that's a very interesting point. What's happened with Chrysler is that as their chance of going into bankruptcy rose, so did their market share. And this has just happened in this year alone. Their market share went from 8.5% in July to 11.5% in November. And that's with the rising chance of filing bankruptcy reorganization papers. So they're not going to lose market share because they file Chapter 11. And the courts can put money in escrow to cover warranties so that auto buyers don't have to be worried, well, if this company goes completely bust, then my warranty won't be honored. Well, yes, it will. The courts will protect that.
Don't you think greed is the main reason for the big three's reluctance in filing Chapter 11?
One of the things that has to happen in Chapter 11 is that the management has to be paid a reasonable wage, and that means not excessive. So, you know, these companies have not done very well, and there's not going to be a lot of demand for the chief executive officers. They haven't exactly done wonders with their firms. And they're going to have to lower their salaries. They're going to have to lower their benefits. And, of course, the unions will have to lower their benefits, and the unions have been really putting pressure on Congress, too. It's not just management. It's the unions also. I mean, unions are a wonderful thing up to a point, but, you know, you can't make more than the market can afford to pay. Then somebody else is going to be hurt. And we're not a socialist country, but capitalism has balances and checks, too. You know, everybody's worried, well, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, that's the U.S. Pension guarantee arm, would have to take over these underfunded pension funds. But in fact, they're not underfunded. GM has 400,000 retirees, and that pension fund is overfunded by almost $20 billion. And its salary workers plan is overfunded by $500 million. They do have a shortfall for hourly workers of $500 million, but that could be made up by the other overfunded plans, which could also possibly balance some of the other inequalities within the Chapter 11 court system. When, as, and if it gets there, which I hope it does.
Elisa Lappin, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
It's been a pleasure being on your show again, Michael. Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to joining you again.